You're the only you in the whole galaxy. Think about that. We've got galaxies and galaxies and galaxies. We don't know anything. We don't know where we are. We don't know why we're here.
Welcome to the Kindness Podcast. I'm Nicole Phillips. Today's conversation is with Galen Baker. Galen is an actor, director, writer, and a storyteller with more than 30 years in the industry. But what makes her especially compelling, I think, is the way she is showing up right now. You may know her as Mabel from Retirement House. It is a wildly popular social media comedy with billions of views, yeah, with a B. Where she is helping redefine what it looks like to age out loud instead of stepping back quietly. She's also the creator of 3 award-winning documentaries and the author of 2 books centered on gratitude, spirituality, and living a daring life. These days, she is building a new audience through live streams and creative work that centers joy, visibility, and the idea that growing older doesn't mean becoming less. So today's big question is, what does kindness look like when you refuse to disappear as you age? I love it. It's so yummy. Welcome, Galen Baker. I'm so happy to have you here today.
It's so great to see you. Does everybody know that we met at the Mr. Beast competitive thing? Did you make it to the second day?
I feel like you're going to throw me under the bus right away. Yes, actually, I did. I made it in the race. So Galen is talking about there's a Mr. Beast competition, this video that we did together. They did ages 1 to 100. I was age 50. What age were you? 88. Yeah, I remember being a teenager and thinking, wow, I can't even imagine being 30.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay, so anyway, back to the Mr. Beast thing. So this is where we met, because I was standing in the hotel lobby with the rest of the competitors, and I see this woman standing next to the desk, and she is stunning. She is glowing. There is like this twinkle in her eye. I can't even put my finger on exactly what it was, but when you see someone and you're like, that is an it girl. That was Galen. And I marched right up to her and I was like, you're so beautiful. But like, beautiful wasn't even like the right word. It was just something that radiates from you. And so that was our first interaction. And then we did the race. We had to run across a football field. And well done, by the way. You schooled the competition. And then we were in a dodgeball game. That's where I got out of the competition. Tell me about you in the dodgeball game.
I made it to the first round because I didn't even try to get somebody else out. I stayed in the background so that I could see where the balls were coming from. And no one really threw balls at us. And if I had done that in the second round, I might have stayed in. I was so pissed off because a 17-year-old got me out of the game. And in the filming of it, the kid that threw the ball at me, it made me off balance. And then I sort of raised up off the floor and then landed on my butt. And I'm a filmmaker. So when that happened, I thought, there's the money shot. I just made it into the last movie. But what I didn't realize is that they were going to show that particular shot of me 5 times in a 40-minute.
They kept going back to it again and again and again. And I have had people ask me, was that woman okay? And so were you hurt?
No, not at all. So it was all great fun. And one of the nicest things about the Beast Games was your compliment and meeting you. You said, I'm glowing. I think maybe I kid myself, you know, but I think I glow with spirit. I've followed spirit my whole life. That's my suggestion to everyone who's alive. Don't follow all those rules that's man-made.
Yeah.
Follow your own authenticity. Follow the spirit that you love, that because that spirit comes, I don't know where else it comes from, but you're the only you in the whole galaxy. Think about that. We've got galaxies and galaxies and galaxies. We don't know anything. We don't know where we are. We don't know why we're here. So I picked following that spirit. And I think that's what people see glowing in me. And I think it's what is irresistible, really. I've been fascinated by this life. Where the heck do we come from? Why on earth are we here? Why do we die? You know, those kinds of questions have just fascinated me. Mm-hmm. And all I've learned is that I don't know anything. I don't know anything. I decided that creativity was my particular road. I love directing. I love storytelling. I love writing books. I love acting. And they hired me for 2 shoots 5 years ago. And we went viral overnight. And I've been acting almost every day for 5 years, which is a miracle. And yes, it's not on national television. It's not on Broadway stage. It's just on social media. But social media is really important these days.
Yeah, social media is the national audience. It is the international audience, right? And it is the thing. So speaking of that, you are Mabel. That is the character from Retirement House. Tell us about what being Mabel has taught you.
Mabel has taught me that I've been Mabel my entire life. Oh. I am Mabel. And they hired me with the idea that they were going to create a character. But after they met me, they just let me be me. I was the one that was laughing too loud. I was the one that, even though the whole class was talking, I would stay after school. I've always been Mabel, and Mabel has gotten me into so much trouble. But I love Mabel. And I really appreciate who I turned out to be. And they do, too. They just let me be me. And if you go to Galen Baker Official, I finally have a website that has a lot of my work on it. You can download the movies and you can read the books and you can do all of that. And on there is a music video that I did where I was playing an Alzheimer's person. And then it's so beautiful because it shows the inside of my soul where I'm really young and activated. And then I'm back being an old woman again. And the first time I got that vulnerable, rehearsing for that, I got that vulnerable on camera, and I came upstairs from the rehearsal, and I cried and cried and cried. It was really devastating to me. Now, because I've gotten to be there every week, being that vulnerable on camera is exactly what I do. And the good news is that Retirement House is now deciding that they're actually going to script us and see how people like us in real little, what would you call them, vignettes, and where we are really playing that character in little sketches, and we're going to see how that works, and I'm very excited about that detour. But being in front of a camera every week for 5 years has been a miracle.
So let's back up before the 5 years ago when you were hired. I'm wondering if there was a point in your life as a woman where you felt like you were becoming invisible. Has that ever happened to you?
No, not really. I mean, I've just been too much of a loudmouth. People, even other women, for a long time did not like me for that. And, you know, I haven't had the problem of being invisible, but I have had the problem of really being hated. I was a freshman in college, and all the women said, look, you don't really belong here. I was on a ballet scholarship, look, you don't really belong here. You belong in New York. So the next year when I had a chance to go to New York and start performing, I just blew off college and went to New York. I got to do off-Broadway. I got to do national television. I got to model. And I did all of that for 3 years. And boy, did I really thought I was something. I was pretty sassy. But I didn't. I hated. I mean, this is long ago. So I hated the whole sleep with me. I'll make you a star. Have this drug. Have that drug. I never did. People say, what would you say to your 20-year-old? I'd say, thank you. She never did it. She just blew it off, man. No drugs, no sex, no nothing. And then I fell in love, went to Europe, never looked back. And I was doing pretty well. I mean, I had survived in the business for 3 years, which was good. But I just didn't want that path. I went off to look for spirit, not realizing, of course, that where you find spirit is inside of you. Yeah.
So being all of these sort of iterations of yourself and being around the mean girls and now having people love you, like there's all this, the ebb and flow of all of it. What has that taught you about kindness and the way that you want to be treated, but also the way you treat others? Is there some lesson of kindness in the middle of that from somebody who has just experienced both great adoration and hatred?
Yeah. Every single person that you meet is God. Single person. So you need to really take care of them. You need to really, even if you don't like them, even if, no matter what, they are a representative of God, and treat them the way that you treat the God that you love. The person that's on the street, the person that's throwing rocks, the person that would take you down if they could, it's God. One time I was getting married. I've been married several times. None of them. Yeah, they were all learning curves.
None of them took. Okay, that's all good.
But I'd love to be married now. I just want you to know that. And anybody, we're out there watching this. And we were in a little chapel, and a drunk man came in the door. And it was obvious that he was drunk and that he was disrupting the marriage. And I treated him like that. That's where I really learned that. That was the moment that I realized. I said, I invited God to the wedding. I'm so glad you came.
Wow. So how did that lens?
He turned around and left. Oh. Yeah.
How did that lens come about for you? How did you create or unlock that lens that sees God in each human?
Well, you know, every single spiritual teacher that we've ever had on the planet has said that. And it's not limited to Jesus. It's not limited to Muhammad. It's not limited to Buddha. They've all said that. You are the reflection of God and everybody else.
And it opens the door for massive compassion when you can look at people like that, right? And that compassion is the doorway to kindness.
Yeah, and you know what? I get teared up. I'm very sensitive about that sort of thing. Not forgiving someone is like drinking poison and think that it's going to affect them. It's not going to affect them. It's going to affect you.
Our entire lives, we are going to run across people that either treat us poorly or rub us the wrong way or whatever it will be. So it's up to us to know how we're going to react instead of hoping everybody goes away or becomes nice, right? Like, we've got to learn this lesson at some point.
You got to learn this lesson at some point. And my mother once said to me, I would watch you walk out of school and girls would start running up to you and then they'd stop and run away. And I said to my mom, when she said that to me, why try to talk to me about it now? Why didn't you talk to me about it when I was experiencing it?
What'd she say?
Nothing. Yeah. She didn't say anything.
It's really hard to enter someone's pain, especially when we don't have an answer to fix it. So we forget sometimes that just showing up and being present for people is a great act of kindness.
Is a great act of kindness. Mm-hmm. My oldest granddaughter now is 21, but when she was about 6 months, she started calling me Yuppa. I thought she was calling me Yuppa. We all thought she was calling me Yuppa. But it turned out that she's half Chinese and half Caucasian. And she was remembering, for all of you who don't believe in reincarnation, she was remembering a past life in Tibet, because Yuppa is the word for great joy. Yuppa do! The monks yell yuppa-doo when they're having fun, and we would be playing and beating on pans and doing all of that, and my little granddaughter would say yuppa-doo. And it took 10 years to find out what that meant. I happened to be interviewing a man that houses the Tibetan monks when they come, and he heard someone call me yuppa, and he said, do you know what that means? And I said, no. And he explained to me that it meant great joy. So then I went home and I said to Kira, yuppa-doo, I found out what yuppa-doo means. And I said, it means great joy. And she said, well, that's perfect. I guess she was about 10. And she said, well, that's perfect, yuppa, because you've never been anything but great joy to me. And then my other grandchildren, they started calling me Yuppa because Kira does. And then my sons, everybody in my family now calls me Yuppa. Well, Yuppa means great joy. And so I came home with the idea. I found a hat, a baseball cap that said, make films, not war. And it dawned on me that I might get the word out about the things that really mean to me if I started a Yuppa Says.
Ooh.
So now I'm thinking about putting in merchandise on my website where the doorway is Yuppa Says. And maybe on the cap, Yuppa Says, stand together. Yuppa Says, we're all human. Yuppa Says, you know, so that was the idea that started generated.
So you were in Dubai because you are a viral creator, right? You were there with this 1 billion follower summit, and it was fantastic. It was amazing.
It was amazing. And here's the most amazing part. They invited the three original members of Retirement House. They paid for all expense paid for a week in a gorgeous hotel in Dubai. And all they wanted was 10 minutes of talking from us on the stage. 10 minutes. And I mean, they were like the Academy Awards. They had a clock. They really didn't want you to go over 10 minutes. And then even bigger thrill is the producer and the director took my slogan, embrace aging, it's full of surprises and fun, but don't let them trick you into getting old. That was our talk.
Oh, don't let them trick you into getting old.
Don't let them trick you into getting old. That was our talk in the Middle East. My slogan. And they didn't even say to me what, you know, they didn't, they, I said, I'd really like a chance to say that slogan. And they said, your whole talk is that slogan.
Give us some practical tips for people. How do we grow up, get older, without letting the world trick us into getting old? Because
Well, first of all, you have to not listen to any of the things they're trying to sell you. They try to sell you the idea that you're old when you're 40.
Right.
And just don't listen. Don't listen to any of that. That and you don't need all those things. I do 4 hours a week of Pilates.
Wow. Okay.
I do Monday, Wednesday, and Friday of Pilates on the reformer. And then on Sunday, I do a Pilates stretch and relaxation program. Mm-hmm. I believe that the entire life is, meditation. I think you must meditate constantly. I go through stages where I sit down and I actually time it. And, you know, I know how to meditate. I've taught meditation. I've taught yoga. Mm-hmm. Just don't let them trick you into getting old. Sometimes I go outside and walk barefoot on the ground. And I try to remind myself all the time that I don't know anything. I really, really don't know anything. I'm just stumbling around doing the very best I can.
And so is everyone else. What a great, what a great way to start kindness. If there is someone listening today that you just want to share one thing with, what last thing do you want to leave our listeners with today?
You get to choose. How do you want your life to be? And when you're my age, are you going to have a bunch of regrets that you didn't do certain things? Or are you just going to say, boy, I did my best?
Galen Baker, thank you. Reminding us that aging isn't about shrinking. It's about expanding into who you really are. Back to authenticity. Listener, if you've been feeling a little stuck, a little invisible, a little unauthentic, a little whatever, let this be your invitation to step forward boldly. And if this conversation resonated with you, please share it with someone else. Galen Baker wants to hear from you. Go to her website, galenbakerofficial.com. There's a place in there that you can write to her, send her your questions, send her your thoughts. Remember, what you look for is what you'll see.